The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I am the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer and the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Well, Chris, we have a very meaningless game coming up Sunday. We both discussed this, man, expecting, 30, 40% at most, maybe less. Yeah. But I would say at most 40%, just for those hardcore tailgaters that want to show up and still party one more time and see their friends. But other than that, Chris, I can't see, you know, this is going to be the least packed game I've seen in years here, dude. It is what it is. It's a meaningless game.
Yeah, I'm thinking 20,000, 25, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a little bit more.
No, that's about right. Yeah,
you know, that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's meaningless games. Maybe some showers. I don't know. The weather, man, it might not be the greatest. And people are just fed up. They don't want to go. And the people that are going will probably just want to go there and boo. You know.
Yeah.
And take and get some anger out at this team. So
yeah,
it's just gonna be really. It's gonna be weird. You know, it's gonna be barely anybody there. And,
Just not
a good scene, bro. You know.
No, like you said, we cannot wait till this just is over with.
Yeah, and it's not like you're looking at at least we got a young quarterback. You know, going with Jake Fromm. Hmm. Anybody who doesn't know, Mike Glennon, he needs surgery. He hurt his non-throwing wrist. He's out. Fromm will be in there. Maybe even Lewicki will get some snaps. I don't know, but it's gonna be Washington's gonna play to win. Like the Giants, but Washington, you know, they're going to have Heineke. They're going to have most of their guys. And I expect it to be a whipping again, to be honest with you.
Do you really? A whipping?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a whipping again. I think it's going to be like a 24-3, a 23 game. Ron Rivera, without question, I was, on a conference call with him yesterday. And the media, I mean, not just me. And
it was a media, then it was with you by yourself.
Yeah. I could tell he wasn't too crazy about Judge's comments.
Yeah.
What he said after the game about, we don't have guys fighting. Just get into that a little bit. This is what I've been saying about, Judge has got to stop talking.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Because he's the more he talks, the more, we all know he makes a comment about, the fighting and we don't want a clown show here. Everybody knows what happened with the Washington team on the sidelines last week. So I think Judge meant to take a shot at Rivera? No. But it must have popped in his head because he was rambling on and on,
Yeah. First thing we thought of.
And Rivera was asked that yesterday about what he thought of the comments, and he's just like, I'm not going to get into it. Obviously people don't know what's going on over here.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little, not fitting, but, at the end, Rivera said to everybody, I really respect Mr. Tisch and Mr. Mara and the Giants organization. Did not say anything about Joe Judge. And you could tell by Rivera, he wasn't too crazy about Judge's comments.
Yeah.
I'm sure Judge is straightening that out with him. Judge said he didn't mean any shot at Washington, but it came across as for somebody that's 4-12, shouldn't be talking about anything.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Yep.
And of course, somebody asked Pat Shurmur out in Denver about Judge's comments about guys tapping out when he got here and all that. And Shurmur just took the high road and says, listen, I'm not going to get into that. That's not what I understand. And Jerry, you're better at this than me. Didn't they win two of the last three on the Shurmur at the end?
They beat.
Maybe we could look it up now. But
no, well, they no, not no, in okay. 2000. Wait, hang on. In 2019, they beat Washington to their Chase Young Bowl. Right, that was the last game of the season. They lost to the Eagles before that, and they beat Miami before that. So yeah, I think you're right. Going back in my head right now, I think I'm right, and I'll look this up. I think it's they beat Washington, lost to Philly, and then beat Miami the week before that, I think.
Okay, well, anyway, it wasn't like they were getting blown out every game at the end of the year. And,
no.
You know, like you talked about, I don't even know why Georgie even went there. I guess he was, you know, he was responding to the question about sticking together now and all that crap. So,
right.
I wouldn't have did it, you know, but sure enough, Sherman just took the high road, goes, listen, I'm not going to get into that, you know, but right. I could tell he was probably a little pissed at that stuff too. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, got it.
So I was right. I was a little off. They lost to the Eagles last game of the season, but they beat Washington and Miami before that. So I mixed them up.
They did win two out of the last three.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So that doesn't sound like a team that's tapped out to me.
No. And in fact, the Washington game, Chris, that was the best that offense looked in the last 10 years.
Right. At the time, we really didn't need him to look that good. Right.
So right. We would have had Chase Young. Okay. Whatever.
Right. So,
yeah.
That's not a team that's tapping out. You know, is there a few guys? Yeah, like I said, yeah, there was a few guys who vacations and there's a guy with a golf clubs and all. Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know, most teams that have added a playoffs, you're going to have some guys talk about vacations and this and that. You know, it doesn't mean they tapped out on a field.
Right.
Now, you know. Anyway, whatever. Move on from that. I just don't get it. The Judge is going to have to learn. You know, this is. I know he's from the Northeast and stuff, but this is the New York media, and when you're losing. Everything's going to be scrutinized. Everything's going to be broken down. Everything you say is going to be dissected and, you know, and all that. So he's going to have to learn that. He's here 2 years now. And, you know, most times you say something like, well, why would you say that? The offense stinks or whatever it might be. He's taking it to another level where actually other teams are, like, involved. And you don't want to do that, man. But hopefully he'll learn from that.
Chris, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's just stay on Judge real quick. Can anything happen Sunday to where he goes – or no?
Nah, unless he punches a guy in the face or something, or does really something.
Okay.
Look, Jerry, we could start leading into some things. When Ben McAdoo was going to get fired, there was numerous leaks that Ben's gone. When Pat Shurmur was going to get fired, everybody knew it.
Yes.
If you remember, there was leaks coming out of the building left and right. Yeah. Shurmur's gone. I don't know if you noticed, but there hasn't been one. Not one. Leak out of the building. And there's plenty of people that like to talk in that building. A lot of backstabbing going on in that place. Okay? And Gettleman is a goner. We all know that. And I'm sure one of his people or somebody in that building would have kind of leaked it out that, Judge is on thin ice. They have to look good Sunday.
Yeah.
Mara's not happy with him.
Right.
It's not assured he's staying and all that. But if you notice, there hasn't been not one out of the building. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Well, in this business, what that tells you is that this Mara wants Judge back, and he's going to be most likely back. Now, so people, and I understand this. Well, how are you going to hire a GM? First, let's get a couple of things clear as we go into the GM talk. I don't think we want to talk anything else about the Washington game, right? Listen,
who cares?
Jake Fromm, right? So nobody really cares. So, you know, a lot of people, you hear the name Kevin Abrams, and people go ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's clear up something about Kevin Abrams right now. 99.9% chance that Kevin Abrams is not going to get this job.
Which you've been consistent with for months, I'd say.
Okay, now the reason is not so much that Kevin Abrams shouldn't get the chance at doing this job. Kevin Abrams has no say in these drafts. He's had no say. He's added scouting, personnel evaluation the last few years to his resume, which is basically negotiating contracts and salary cap. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and before, you know, people go crazy. Well, look at the cap hell we're going to be in. Well, that's Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman brought these guys in, and then it was Kevin Abrams' job to negotiate contracts with
them. It was make it work, right?
To make it work, bring them here.
Right.
So don't just blame Kevin Abrams for salary cap hell. No, it's Gettleman who went out and wanted to spend all this money and bring these guys in, and they cost money. It was Gettleman who would not lose face by making sure Leo Williams was back in the fold.
Right.
Okay? So let's clear up as Kevin Abrams. If Kevin Abrams came along in another time, Kevin Abrams is thought of very highly, not just in the building,
yeah,
but around the league.
Hmm.
They think he's going to, you know, a couple more years of seasoning, grow, you know, whatever, assistant GM, whatever. He's not going anywhere, okay? He's a very bright guy, and he's adding things to his resume now, like scouting. In the last few years, he's taking this on. So he's gearing up. If this was another time period where the Giants were coming off, like, maybe a couple of bad seasons, but they've had success in the last 6-7 years, had a couple of playoff teams and all that, Kevin Ames would get this job.
Yeah.
He would get this job. Yeah. And most people would be like, well, okay, that's good. We'll move on. You know, we've been pretty successful the last seven years, a couple of playoffs. So despite
Kevin Abrams being maybe qualified or ready for this, he's a victim of the Giants' failures.
Now, John Mara understands
that
the fan base would revolt.
Yeah.
Season ticket renewals, which is big, would go down.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's not forget, there's no more 30-year waiting lists for the Giants. That went out the window when PSLs came in.
Yes.
There's no more waiting list. He understands, Mara, that the people will be looking to burn that stadium down. That it would be such an unpopular choice.
Yeah.
That he gets it. Mara knows that. So we're not going to see Kevin Abrams. All right? Unless Mara just, well, you know, I don't care and this and that. But if that's not Mara's attitude, I don't care about the fans. I don't care about what they, you know, that's not Mara's attitude, okay? So Kevin Abrams is not getting a job. The point I'm saying is that, Jerry, Kevin Abrams has nothing to do with these drafts the last 4 years. He has nothing to do with the Mark Ross, who did so much damage to this organization, dude. So much damage Mark Ross did. And Jerry Reese gets blamed for a lot of stuff that was Mark Ross behind the scenes, okay?
Mm.
All right? Even as, even the Evan Engram draft pick that Reese got destroyed over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People kind of whisper, well, you know what? Don't be so quick to blame Reese in that. Now, don't get me wrong. He was the general manager. The buck falls on him. The buck stops with him. I get it. But Mark Ross had a lot of influence, bro. And Evan Ingram was a Mark Ross type guy. Athletic. Yeah. You know, he could do this. Catch. Oh, he could line him up at a slot. Receiver. I'm even hearing that that wasn't necessarily even Jerry Reese's number one guy, but they went with him because Ross and him, you know, it's just the influence, their personnel, and all that crap.
And seeing TJ Watt have 21 and a half sacks and picked 30th in that draft, ooh, that one still stinks, Chris.
Reuben Randle.
Yeah.
What round was he drafted,
Jerry? Second round, right? 2012, I believe.
Right. You're better at this than me. You remember
this. This is the stupid stuff I know.
Reuben Randle. Yeah. How did he turn out as a second round pick?
Oh. Disaster.
Okay, that was Mark Ross all the way.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that was Mark Ross all the way.
Yeah.
So you had guys in there before Gettleman, did a lot of damage, bro. A lot of damage.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm getting back to Abrams, and we'll get back to some of the other stuff, but Abrams is a guy highly thought of, but he just is coming along the wrong time. Mara realizes he has to go outside the building. Okay. In all fairness, what this building has been doing the last 10 years hasn't worked. It's been a total disaster.
Right.
So get it. And this is the right move. Get a guy from outside this building. Get him in here and let him change his scouting department. Now, a couple of things as we move along into January. You can't just go out and fire every damn scout because, you know, you got to start looking at the draft now, college, senior bowl. So that's really impossible.
Yeah.
But some people are going to go. Some people are going to be gone next week, okay? And people, Mark Hans, Gettleman's right-hand man, he's going to be gone. I'm pretty sure he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Okay? Chris Pettit, who is the director of college scouting, he's most likely he's going to be gone too.
Really unpopular among Giant fans, Chris. Chris Pettit.
Very unpopular. I understand.
Yeah.
These drafts have not gone well. You know, and nobody really wants to hear about some guys at the back end of the drafts that are contributing to special teams. You know, you got to draft some impact kids to win in this league.
Right.
Giants haven't done it. Chris Pettit, I don't think he's going to survive this, nor do I think he should survive this. Why? Yeah. Well, let's just look at, you know, what we're bringing in here. Okay? Now, another name that's bounced around that I could tell you is a bright young mind. And who's going to be something down this road probably, is Tim McDonald. Okay?
Yeah.
He's a young guy. He started basically making his bones at Notre Dame years ago. He was like an assistant, graduate assistant. wound up developing, you know, recruiting for Notre Dame, who's had some good recruiting classes under him. Charlie Weiss, raves about him. Weiss worked with him, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Tim McDonald is going nowhere, in my opinion. Not to mention he's got some kind of Marriott connection and all that. I think he's whatever he's. And we all know about the nepotism sometimes in his building.
Okay. It must have something to do with Boston College too, or something. Anyway.
No. But Tim McDonald. You know, Tim McDonald.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, this was his first season as a co-director, player personnel, all that, and he's going to stay and he's going to grow, and he should. He's a young mind. He works his butt off. Okay. He's got a pretty decent eye for understanding talent, and he's going to have more of a role as this organization moves forward. Mm-hmm. All right. So, cons, you know, his four years with the Giants with Gettleman, co-director of player personnel, he's going to be gone. Pettit, director of college scouting, he should be gone. Okay. This hasn't worked what they're doing. Getting back to Abrams, Jerry, Mara knows he has to go outside the building. He understands what would happen if he promoted Kevin Abrams, and he's not going to be dumb enough to do something like that, because what would happen in the fan base and the revolt and everything that would happen. But it's not – don't look at Kevin Abrams and say, well, you know, Kevin's had a part of these drafts the last 4 years. What the hell? That's not true.
Yeah.
It's like I've been saying about Chris Mara, John's brother. He doesn't have much say just because he's a Mara. He hasn't done much as far, yeah, he does some scouting, he does some player personnel and all that, but this was Gettleman's show.
So it's all Gettleman, right? That's what
this
people want.
This has been Gettleman's show the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, Gettleman wanted to go with a running back second overall, touched by the hand of God, and Barkley was incredible his first year, and he's an incredible talent, Saquon. Now, do I have him up there with Derrick Henry's or the Dalvin Cooks or the, you know, and Jonathan Taylor's? No. But he's still an incredible talent, Saquon. He had an incredible rookie year. But there was people in that building that thought Dave was crazy for taking a running back. Second overall. Dysfunction. Not so many people not on the same page.
Yeah.
They shield John Mara from what's going on. Now, you either shield John, what's going on, or John, there's people that say, John, yeah, we're doing this, and John believes them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
John Mara's had the wool pull over his eyes a lot. These last 10 years. So the new general manager's got to come in here, Jerry. He's got to change. You know what this culture word that I hate so much?
You seem to like that word a lot.
Right. And don't get me wrong. You have to have the right culture in the locker room to contribute to a winning team. I get it like that. But the bottom line is winning, and that really changes the culture. But the culture does contribute a little bit. Don't get me wrong. You have to still have that certain mix, and then you win games and all that crap. Okay? But, you know, Gettleman's been preaching culture 4 years. They haven't won a damn thing.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, you know. But it is part of it. Don't get me wrong. I make fun of it. Like, stop with the culture. And it's true. I don't want to hear about the culture crap anymore. You know, you got to win games. That gets the culture. I don't know. But it does, you know, all tongue-in-cheek. It does. Culture, you do need a little bit. Judge is trying to get it here. It hasn't worked out so far, right? So, Jerry, the new GM, and we're going to get into some guys, you know.
Yeah.
He has to come in here, and he has to change the culture, and that means philosophy.
Yep.
All right? That means when they go down to Senior Bowl, it's him, his new college scouting director, and his player personnel guy, and Tim McDonald, who's I'm sure is going to still be here and all that. They go down as a group, and they evaluate. Right?
Right.
Years ago, and the Giants were the laughing stock of the rest of the teams in this league. They used to go down. Mara brought some guys down. Ross, you know, who thought he was, for some reason, he thought he was Jesus walking around, you know, and walking around giving sermons all day. You know, Ross really thought who the hell he was. You had Reese. You had different groups of guys down there watching the same guys.
Yeah.
Where most teams have just one group of guys.
Yeah.
And I noticed for a fact, a lot of other teams used to look at the Giants and go, what the hell are they doing with so many guys? There's one group there. There's one group there. You know, no wonder they can't draft well.
Yeah.
There's too many Chiefs. Who, you know, oh, I want this guy. Oh, no, but you think this guy. No, that's not the way it works. Okay? When Giants drafted guys in the past, example, Marvin Austin. Remember him?
Yes.
Prominent U.S.
Second round 2011 or 2010, I forget.
Yeah, I mean, there were certain guys. Who was the guy from UCLA? His brother plays in the Cowboys now. The guy.
Oh, Dizua.
He comes in here. There was flags all over him about his effort, this and that. The Giants think they're going to pull a. They think they're going to pull a wool over everybody's eyes drafting him. Yeah. DeMontre Moore, flags all over the damn joint.
Yep.
They took him what, Jerry? Second round, third round? Whatever they took him.
DeMontre Moore was third round, Texas A&M 2013.
Right around it. When these guys were drafted, and a lot of other guys, prominent NFL guys or ex-former NFL guys that were associated with the draft, whatever it might be, they used to look at the Giants draft pick like that and go, well, that's typical Giants. No wonder they don't win.
So embarrassing.
Only the or, and I noticed for a fact, people have told me this, okay, that people have told me this. Or it would be like, oh, only the Giants would draft that guy that high. Nobody had him that high. So this is what we're talking about the evaluation process going on in this building. It's been a shit show. Okay, and of course you got some guys, you know, they're pretty good picks and all that. A few, but the record speaks for itself. Okay, the win-loss record speaks for itself. The failure to build an offensive line, even though Reese addressed it, it didn't work out. It speaks for itself. Other teams have turned around offensive lines in 1, 2, 3 years. Solid. Browns did it. Solid. Colts did it with good drafting. Okay?
Yeah.
That hasn't worked here. There's too many guys with this. Gettleman comes now. It's Gettleman's show. Gettleman had the final say. It's his. You know, it's all on Dave. This is all on Dave. Okay?
It was his decision to trade down too?
His decision to trade down.
Okay.
He takes Kadarius Toney. And right now, you look at Kadarius Toney and you say, very talented young man. But he's hurt a lot. Right? He's hurt here. So what do we have? We have a kid that's very talented, but we don't know for how much availability he's going to be down the road. We hope he plays 16 games for the next 10 years. Right, Jerry?
Yeah.
But year one, COVID, you can't really blame on the kid. I mean, you know,
everybody's getting it.
But the injuries, you had the oblique, you had some stuff going on.
The shoes.
Now he's got the shoulder, right?
I mean, from the start with the stupid shoes thing. Like, come on.
Right off the start, it didn't start off well, you know, and the whole deal. Injured a few times.
Hey, guys, you're all going to kill me. I got to interrupt Chris. Please don't kill me. This is a great podcast. But I got to tell you about the Blindsided podcast, guys. The Players Tribune has launched its first ever mental health podcast called Blindsided. The hosts are former NHL goalie Corey Hirsch and psychiatrist Diane McIntosh. Show will share the moments for a variety of athletes when everything changed for them and mental health became the most important focus of their lives. It allows listeners to have an understanding of the types of mental health challenges that people face. The guests include this season Kevin Love and Kurt Warner. Plan your work and work your plan. For many athletes, saying such as this could be considered scripture, permanent signposts lining the long road to success in sports. For some, the very act of pursuing a career in sports can give a sense of self-control, a sense of safety, so long as you stick to that plan. That is until life happens, the kind of life that happens while you're making other plans. Breakdowns, insecurity, panic attacks, PTSD, addiction, sudden life changes, ones that require an athlete to toss aside their well-laid plans and answer the question, what's your next play? Blindsided is a podcast about sports, mental health, and life. All right, guys, check out the Blindsided podcast. All right, Chris, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no. Hey, you've got to pay the bills, right?
Damn right, buddy.
So the dysfunction that goes on in that building, especially years past, is just unspeakable. So this is why I talk about getting a president of football operations. Now, that might not happen. And John, if you look, Mara, if you're listening, or if somebody, brings it up to your attention, whatever it might be, something to consider, because he'd be like a lieutenant. He'd be like the captain. You know, he'd be like an enforcer. Like, what's going on here? What's going on with this group and this and that? Okay. And then you got your general manager. Like, who would be some prime guys? I mean, a guy like Phil Simms, I know his name's popped up, but he has no interest in it. That would have been like a great example of a president of football operations. You know, a guy that's going to go in there and you got to need a guy to get some discipline. Everybody's on the same page. I don't want to hear this crap bickering here. I don't want this backstabbing here.
Yeah.
And I understand it's human nature. It's going to happen at times. All right. You get a large group of people together, you're going to have some bad, but that can't, Jerry, this has been going on in this organization for way too long.
Right.
Way too long. Okay? And then the president of football operation, he reports to Mara. He deals with the GM and all that. But this is going to be a very big... Now, I know most GM, a lot of times GMs come in and they want their own guy. We're going to get into Judge a little bit, right? But there's been a lot of circumstances where a GM came in and he adopted the head coach and they were successful. So it's not like you can't do it. And Mara's going to look to keep Judge. Mara wants to keep Judge.
Okay? Yeah, I think what scares people is the most recent that they can think of, or the one that hits very close to home because it happened with our co-tenants, was the situation with the Jets, right, and Idzik and Ryan.
Right. And there's been a few other ones that didn't work out. But there's been other circumstances where it has worked out.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not like you can't get a guy and go, okay, you know what? I'll give this guy a year. We're going to try to draft. We're going to get him some players. We're going to draft. We'll give this guy a year. And if it's a total failure, he's gone.
Right.
Okay? And the GM stays, right? And then he brings in his own guy. So don't get too crazy about, you know, this can never work and all that. That's not true. It's worked with other organizations. A lot of times, though, the question is going to be is if Mara wants a certain guy, will he say, you know, okay, I'll give Joe a year, you know, this and that. Chances are he will. He might not. So let's look at some of the guys, you know, that could be possibilities, all right?
Yeah.
There's two that have been around a while.
Oh, yeah, I think I know who you're going to name.
Yeah, I mean, one is John Dorsey.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah.
All right? He's now, you know, John's back. He's just a senior personnel executive in Detroit now and all that.
Yep.
But we all know what John has done in the past.
Yeah.
With the Browns, he drafted well for them a couple years ago. With the Chiefs, numerous Pro Bowl players.
Yeah.
Built the foundation there when Reed, like Pioli did a little bit. We'll get into Scott a little bit. You know, and he was obviously the Packers director of college scouting back in the 2000s, you know, and the Packers have been a very good organization, you know, for a while.
Yep.
So John Dorsey is an excellent personnel man. He knows talent, okay? And he's, you know, he's not old. He's 61. He's still a pretty young guy, but that's young today, you know?
Yeah.
He's a guy. Now, the problem with John Dorsey, from what I understand, is that his mouth. Every team he's been the general manager of, there's been leaks worse than the freaking Titanic. Too many people know stuff, what's going on in the building, because John has a tendency to yap. Okay?
Unbelievable.
Now, that might be somebody that Mara's going to look, okay, we can't have, you know, we can't have this, and this. I don't know. But, this is where you need, like, you know, a New York guy. And John Mara is obviously, you know, he's a New York, wherever he is, but not a real New York guy. You know what I mean?
He's Westchester or whatever.
Where you tell Dorsey, you know, you got to shut your effing mouth. You know, whatever. But I'm being funny.
Brooklyn Chris.
I'm being funny.
Yeah, right.
But John Dorsey is an excellent, excellent evaluator. And he's going to be out there. You know, he's exact, whatever he is, assistant, currently a senior personnel guy at Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mara will go that direction, but he's a guy you have to consider because of his history,
right,
which has been excellent. All right. And now another guy I'm going to mention, I'm going to bring in there, is a guy with Northeast roots, Bill Parcells' son-in-law, and Bill Belichick's guy for a long, long time, and that's Scott Pioli.
Yeah.
Now, Scott's tenure in Kansas City started off well. He was executive of the year in 2010. It didn't end well. But I'm going to ask you this, Jerry. That happens, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times guys get fired. They were flying banners over. They couldn't stand them and all that. Okay. Okay. But Bill Pullian, remember him?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He was let go. He built the Buffalo Bills teams, right?
Yep.
And moved then on. Yeah. Really fired, moved on. And how did he do in his second job?
Phenomenal. Right.
Pretty good.
Right.
Ron Wolf.
Yep.
How did he do in his second job?
Yeah. And Chris, this is what I was thinking of before, because I knew we were going to talk about this. Those were the two names I kept coming back to. Right. And we can talk about other guys as well. But those were the two names. And it's, Chris, what I was going to say is I don't need someone who's only had success. I almost want someone who's had a little bit of failure so that when they come in, they do this the right way. Right. And you know, we could talk about other guys as well, but I kept coming back to those two because you need, I don't want a first timer this time around, right? Not that Gettleman really was, but this situation is so bad. I can't afford a GM learning on the fly. I need an experienced guy who's built franchises in the past. And I don't care if they failed it here or there. I don't care that Scott Pioli, when he went to Kansas City, didn't go so well. And, you know, that next year out of the six guys on the Pro Bowl, I think only two were his. And actually, Dorsey did better there. I look at what Pioli did in New England. I look at how he helped build the Jets in the late 90s, right? So I'm okay with a guy failing. I almost won it in a weird way. Is that wrong?
No, I agree with that. I think it, you know, look, I would like to see somebody in here who's got a lot of winning on their resume and stuff like that. But at the same time, Jerry, I wouldn't have a problem if they went with like a Dave Ziegler, who's Parcells' sort of like de facto GM up in New England right now.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me, Belichick. I think I said Parcells. I think, you know, Belichick squashed it last year. Denver was interested in him, and Belichick kind of squashed it. He brought him. He made, basically, Ziegler went back to Bill. You know, Bill didn't want it. But this is the New York Giants, and Belichick, we all know, loves the New York Giants. So if it came down to a guy like Ziegler, you could see Bill giving him permission and saying, yeah, do what you know, if it works out for you, you got my blessing. You know what I mean? Because Belichick gets, you know, he gets along with John, loves the organization and all that. So Jerry, my preference is, we're going to talk about a few more guys, but I get it. I kind of want a guy who's been a GM.
Right.
And who's won.
Right.
You got to remember something about, it didn't end well for Pioli, but Pioli knows what this organization wants. He's got roots here.
And real quick, Chris, the Pioli thing, did that have as much to do with Todd Haley, you think?
Well, he hired the wrong guy.
Right.
Todd Haley was not a good fit. He had one good year, whatever it was, and it didn't work out. You know, and even Scott's last few drafts in Kansas City wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And it went bad. It went bad with him, the media there. Pioli's, look, he's the total opposite of Dorsey. Like I just said, Dorsey mouth could get him in trouble with the leaks through this insider and outsider. I'm talking about football insiders, like, the Rappaports and the guys like that. He's got, he likes to talk. Well, Scott Pioli is the exact opposite. He's like the CIA Pioli.
It's like Judge.
He's like worse than Judge. I mean, another reason why I say Pioli, obviously because Merrill wants Judge to stay another year. And Pioli's got the New England connection with Belichick. Mm-hmm. And they know Joe Judge. So I believe fully that Pioli will be like, I'll work with him and all that. And I'll give him, give him another year. He deserves another year and all that. And we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. All right. Pioli's a guy that's going to come in here and he's going to change the whole structure of this building. Mm. He's going to tell his scouts, this is the type of guy that I look for in a football player. Do not come to me with another type of guy, because I'm going to throw you out of the office. Pioli has a certain player he looks for. Mm-hmm. Okay? He was involved in drafting Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden back in Baltimore. How did that work out?
Pretty well.
Okay? He was involved in drafting Tom Brady, where not many people thought much of Tom Brady. How did that work out?
Yeah.
Okay? He's looking for a certain type of guy. So what these new GMs are, like a guy like Pioli comes in, and he's going to share this with his scouts and whoever's there. Guys, when you come in here with this guy, we're going to all sit down and we're going to look at Jerry Foley from the University of Notre Dame.
Yeah, nice. Golden Domer.
And this is what we're looking for. You know, he can't just come in. A new guy's not going to come in and just clean house everybody. You can't. It's too many scouts. You can't. But what you do, some guys are going to go. And then you start getting your little, your tree branch. Your tree starts to grow in the organization. You get some guys in the first year, the second year, you see this, that, and that. This is the way it works. You start spreading what you're looking for, okay, in football players. Okay?
Right.
That's the way it works. His influence is going to be all over the scouting department. And when they go down to the combine on March 1st, when they go to the Senior Bowl in February, and all that. Pioli has a resume. He's done so many good things. He's a good evaluator of talent. Now,
at multiple locations, too.
At multiple locations. He went to the Jets. He signed numerous free agents to turn that team around.
Right.
The Kevin Mowais and, you know, the Testaverdes and guys like that brought them in. He went to New England with Belichick, and they built what they built there, both of them. A lot of it was Belichick. You know, I don't get me wrong, but Pioli's there. Belichick found Pioli. He found Pioli back in the day with the Giants. He used to travel from all over just to come to church. He found him, kept him, brought him to different places. So don't, what I'm saying to people listening is don't let the Kansas City thing scare you. Where you're like, oh, he destroyed Kansas City and all that.
Well, the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Andy Reid, you know, and Dorsey came in after Pioli and drafted really well. That's why I mentioned John. Guy's an unbelievable, you know, evaluator. But Andy Reid also thanks Scott Pioli for building that foundation there, too, before he got there.
Yeah.
Okay, he drafted a couple of Pro Bowlers, some impact guys, you know, and then Dorsey came in and he drafted even more impact guys, and the Chiefs are what they are today.
It's funny, when you brought up Andy Reid, I thought you were going to say, you know, look at Andy Reid in Philly, how it ended there, right? But he goes to Kansas City, and now all of a sudden he's a genius again. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm okay with a guy who maybe slipped off a bit, because that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't still do the job. They can't talent evaluate. They can't change this whole structure. It's just that, for whatever reason, it didn't work out at a certain spot. But go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Listen. We talk about Dave Ziegler. He's up with Belichick. Obviously, Joe Judge connection. Obviously, a guy will probably come in here and say, no. We know Joe from New England.
Yeah.
We're going to give him another year. We're going to make this thing, you know, we're going to change. We're going to do some things. We're going to, you know, give this guy and let him do, you know, get him some more talent. Let's see. And offensive coordinator, because Freddie Kitchens is gone.
Yes.
If anybody's wondering about Freddie Kitchens, don't. He's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got to get an offensive staff in there that actually looks like a 2022 NFL football team.
Right.
Not a 1943 offensive football team.
If that, right.
Okay. Another guy with a New England connection, Monty Osifo.
Yeah, that's the one I had too. Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a guy. You know, he was the former director of college scouting for Belichick up in New England. He knows Judge.
Yeah.
So there's the connection there where you could see him being brought in, interviewed.
Yep.
And, you know, being considered by Mara.
And he's in my, if we weren't such a shit show of a franchise, I'm okay with it. But it just scares me, first time guy. But go ahead. He's another name I had. He falls into that list with me, along with another guy, Ed Dodd, the Colts. Supposedly one of the best talent evaluators. I mean, look at the Colts in the NFL. But anyway, go ahead, dude. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, right now he's the director of player personnel.
Yeah.
For Tennessee, and he's John Robinson's right-hand man in Tennessee. And they have drafted well the last few years. They've drafted pretty good the last few years. They, you know, they brought some NFL free agents all that. And these guys, you know, they're the number one seed and all that. And they've done a pretty good job over there in Tennessee. So that New England connection intrigues me. Excuse me. He's obviously going to be – he's a guy looking to be a full-time, you know, promoted to general manager. And a guy that Mara, in my opinion, needs to bring in. With the Piolis, even a young guy, Dave Ziegler, up there. And there's one other, listen, Jerry, there's another guy. We talked about Ron Wolf.
Yep, there's mine too. There it is. See if you can see my list. Nope, can you see it? There he goes. Oh, it's backwards.
Oh.
Elliot Wolf.
Yeah, and then you got Ron Wolf's son, Elliot.
Yeah.
Another young mind.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, another young mind. You know, he was with Green Bay, and obviously, you know, and he's right now. You know, he's up in New England as a consultant the last few years with Belichick. So there's another New England connection that knows Joe Judge.
Yeah.
You know, so these are guys you look at and you say, okay, well, these are guys Mara will probably be bringing in. I figure 4 or 5, maybe 6 guy list.
Also, Chris, real quick, with him, I just want to add, he was also assistant GM with the Browns. during the good, the better Browns, right? This later version.
Right. So, I mean, you know, this is a guy, obviously, his father was very good.
Yeah.
He was learned well under his dad, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's got that little New England Judge connection. If you're looking for a young mind, if Mara's looking to get a fresh young mind, he's a guy that has to be considered. Yeah. If Mara wants to go with a proven guys, you got to bring a Pioli in. Pioli gets it, Jerry. He knows what this is all about.
Yeah.
He's a Northeast guy and all that.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got the giant roots. Belichick, the whole deal. Parcells, we all know that's his father-in-law. He knows what this team, you know, he knows how to build a winner as far, you know, he knows how to build a foundation, Jerry. You know, and I think he's a guy that would work with Judge, and that's what Mara wants.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Mara wants, Jerry. He wants a guy to come in here and give Joe another year, get him more talent, and all that. That's the facts. You know what I mean? Now, I can't speak for Scott Pioli. I can't speak for any of the guys I mentioned. They might look at Joe Judge and say, "Hey, this guy's a buffoon." You know?
Yeah.
I don't want him. Even the New England connections, maybe they didn't like him.
Chris, will Lewis Riddick get another interview, you think, or no?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I do not think he will get another interview. But, you know, they might look at him, you know, and they know Judge from New England. They might say, "Nah, I didn't think highly of him. I mean, he was a special teams coach."
Yeah.
You got to remember something, Jerry, about these coaches under Belichick, and you see a lot of them have failed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, most.
Jerry, and we're not going to call Judge, well, 2 years, well, 1 year was good, this year has been a disaster. But are we going to label him a total failure yet? No. I'm sorry, I know people don't want to hear that. But he's probably going to get another year, and then if he goes 5-12 next year, then he's going to be gone, and he's a total failure. So am I going to label him a total failure yet? No. See, the thing is, Jerry, these guys that come from Belichick, Belichick does it all up in New England, bro.
Yeah.
He does. He has his hand in everything. He has his influence in everything. You know, it wasn't like Adam Gase where he just said, "Okay, the defense, you got to do what you want. I don't go to the meetings," you know, all that stuff. Belichick runs everything, every position. And that's why a lot of times these guys go on their own, and it's like they struggle.
Yeah.
They struggle, you know? Because Belichick up in New England does everything, bro. From a tight ends coach, he's there doing this. He's going that, this. He's everywhere. And that's what Judge tries to be here. But that doesn't mean he's going to be successful. And right now, it's been a disaster.
It has been.
You know, his offense, I don't know. I mean, he brought Kitchens in, and it's been worse than Garrett. But it's been 2 years of bad offense, Jerry. Garrett slash Kitchens this year. And that falls on Judge. He's the head coach. So he has to oversee everything, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say the two things that are going to save Judge is the first is when they fired McAdoo, Maris said, we looking back, we probably should have been a little more patient. So that's on his mind. And the other thing is he's got to look at this roster and say, I got to give this guy a chance. Because the roster, I mean, there's the offensive line, it's not functional, right? Your backup quarterback, which I guess Judge contributed to by choosing him, is not even a guy who should be in the league right now. So you can look up and down the roster, especially on offense, where they need more talent. So I think those two things ultimately are going to be, well, we're going to give this guy one more year. But go ahead.
Yeah, and the guy in Indianapolis, right, Dodd?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not? I mean, you know, with the drafts they've had, I mean, I know Chris Ballard runs the show there, but he's been Chris Ballard's guy, right?
Yep.
And he's a guy too. I mean, you look at what they've done and you say, all right, well, you know, we have to look at this guy too.
Yeah.
So you want to go the veteran route? Guys have done it in the past a long time. You got the Dorsey and Pioli, right?
Yes. Exactly
you, got,
right.
you want some guys that you're going to bring in here and you're going to promote them to full-time general manager from their previous jobs. We listed a few of them. Yeah. So that's what John's going to have to deal with, Jerry, you know, and now it's just a matter of making the right call. Now, Steve Tisch, I talked about it, you know, how much of a say, well, look, Tisch, if you put a Dave Ziegler, if you even named him to Tisch, you're probably like, who the hell's that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's not going to know these guys from a hole in the wall.
Right.
The only influence Tish will probably have is like him going to John when John goes, say, like, you know, oh, look, we're going to go with Pioli. We got him in here. He wants a job, you know. Well, Tish might say, well, John, you know, the last two have not worked out here. I mean, they haven't worked out. So what? Tell me why this guy's going to work out, you know?
Right, exactly.
And then John, he'll be smooth, John. Well, this is what he does. And then Tish will be like, okay, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Tish is not going to squash anything. He's not, you know, the only thing he ever squashed was the Chris Maron thing. That was because of Maron, you know, the optics. And he had a part of the team and all that back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
But Tish is not going to, unless Tish all of a sudden decides, well, you know, I got my own guys looking at this, which he's not going to do. He's not involved like that, Tish. I could just see Tish saying, well, you tell me, John, why Jerry Foley's your guy, because the last two I approved and went with you.
Yeah.
Really, you know.
Yeah.
Gettleman didn't work out, and Reese didn't work out at the end, and Ross's, his sidekick was a buffoon. So tell me why this is going to work.
Yeah.
And then John will smooth it over. And, well, this is why. And then Tish will be like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Because Tish doesn't have much, you know, he's just not a football guy like that, Tish. He doesn't, he couldn't tell you, you know, he can't tell you the difference between this guy and that guy. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know, you know, so that'll be
Tish's role. To your point about Ross, like, he still shows up on, like, talk shows and, you know, it's the arrogance too, right? Like, Jerry Reese, to his credit, man, he just went quietly, doesn't say a word. And now people look back at him as not as much of the problem. I mean, you know, how could you compare Gettleman and Reese? It's not even a comparison, right? Gettleman's a complete disaster. But Ross goes out and, you know, the arrogance of him and the way you describe him before. I mean, oh, God. He's like the ultimate villain, man.
Ugh. Yeah, you know, Ross used to patrol the sideline and practices. He used to go to these scouting things and walk around like he was some kind of successful guy. You know, like he's just, you know, and he did a lot of damage in that building, man, over the years. Look, there's a lot of dysfunction going on in that building that really needs to be straightened out, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, even with Gettleman and he overriding some scouts of what they thought should have been a better, and Gettleman, no, I'm going with this guy. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is like, some people in the building are like, Dexter Lawrence, you know? At 17th overall, like, Dave, what are you seeing in it, you know?
And Chris, that was draft night. We questioned that one too, remember? Like, we were like, it was, what the hell is this? What are we doing, man? Yeah. 17th overall. My God. Yeah. And then the no research on Baker, right? DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, I mean, and now you know, what happens is, Jerry, you know, the draft happens, and then a couple years later, people start leaking things out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And you've seen it now from old scouts, this guy Vettorosa. You got an anonymous scout out there now saying things, Gettleman did this, you know, all this stuff, you know. And the DeAndre Baker, that was another example of what I talked about, a draft pick where the rest of the league said, they laugh at the Giants. Like, oh, only the Giants would move up to take that kid.
Yeah.
People laugh at the Giants. They're scouting. Now, Gettleman updated. He updated his scouting department as far as analytics wise. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jerry, the last few years. But it's still way behind other teams, bro.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that the Rams with Sean McVay and his people, the Chiefs, Reed and his people, like their scouting department, Jerry, and their evaluations of these, it looks like these books, Jerry, like, they're stacked. They got everything on these kids. It's so far ahead of the Giants analytic department. I'm talking about scouting analytics, okay?
Yeah.
It's so far ahead of the Giants, it's comical. And it's been upgraded. And Dave actually upgraded a little bit the last few years with this.
For what, like a hammer and chisel to a notebook? Like, I can't imagine. You know,
And you hear stories of DeAndre Baker, and it's like everybody else saying, "Why would you move up for that kid? Nobody had him graded there."
Yeah,
and this is, believe me, this is, you know, this is reliable people telling me this stuff. And you, all these things, you put that all together, that dysfunction. Who's talking here? Who's hiding shit from Mara? This is why you lose 7 out of the last 8 years. and you're in double digit losses, bro. It's been, you know, look, not Dave's leaving Monday, so I'm not a big fan of just piling on and piling on, but obviously he did not get the job done.
Yeah.
And we talked about some guys that we feel maybe will get the job done. So look, if you're gonna ask somebody, ask me, Chris, you know, who do you like? Who do you want? Well, I'm gonna go with the Pioli guy. He wants to get back in, I'm sure. And I think he's a guy that could succeed here, and he's gonna change a lot of what's going on, you know, in that building, Jerry. You know.
Do you think he'll get interviewed?
I don't know. I haven't heard any names yet. I did hear that obviously John and, you know, they got some guys this, you know, they're looking at. I don't know who they're looking at.
Okay.
Okay. And I should never know that. But if I do, that's not good, you know. But I'm sure, you know, somewhere along the line it might. But anyway, the point being is that, you know, they got some names. You know, they know. Listen, it's not like Maris still thinking about Gettleman. No, we all know what the story is, you know. Yep. We all know Gettleman's going to be out the door. We look at those. Some guys, Jerry, if he wants to go young mind, fresh ideas, we talked about some of the guys that are pretty young looking to get promoted to GM, right? For their first GM gig.
Yeah.
And we talked about their backgrounds, their New England connections. Yeah. Why Mara might go that way because they know Judge, you know, and before we know, they like Judge in New England, right? Belichick liked him. So,
yeah.
And we also covered, if they want to go old time, you know, guys with a history, resume, guys who've been around the block 1,000 times. We talked about the Pioli and the Dorseys, you know. Yeah. Jerry, I think John Dorsey is a phenomenal talent evaluator. Me personally, if I was the owner, I wouldn't let that. He has a little bit of a leaky mouth. I wouldn't let that deter me.
Yeah.
If Dorsey, you know, if you bring him in. Pioli would be another guy. I think it would be a pretty good fit here. Don't get scared about the Kansas City. I know I see a lot of people on Twitter. Yeah, Chris, but Kansas City, I don't want him. He destroyed the Chiefs, whatever it was. It didn't end well. I'm not going to lie about that. But he's a guy that has, you know, has done a lot of things in this league. And he was also assistant to Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta. And then went to the Super Bowl in a couple of years.
Right.
So you just keep that in mind, people, when you think about, you know, it doesn't always, like I just said, Ron Wolf pulling, it doesn't always end well. You know, sometimes they go on to another job and it ends really well, you know, and that's what you have to hope for. So Pioli, Jerry, or Dorsey, for the veterans, you know, and we talked about some of the young minds. One guy, you know, Jerry, I didn't really mention too, that I have to be honest with you, you know, Joe Schoen from Buffalo.
Oh, he's another one. Yeah.
You know, this is a guy that Parcells kind of discovered back in Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. He's now the assistant. He's like Brandon Bean up in Buffalo's right hand man.
Yeah.
Another guy, look, we all know what the Bills have done the last few years. And don't get me wrong, they brought in a hell of a coach, right?
Yep.
But we all know what they've done the last few years draft wise. And, you know, Josh Allen has worked out for them and all that. So there's another guy. That's another guy that should be on Mara's list, in my opinion.
Yeah, looking at these successful programs and understanding, you know, why they're successful and going after these guys. Again, dude, I get it. But, you know, we didn't talk much before this podcast. But the two names I came down with at the end of the day were Pioli and Dorsey. And while these younger guys are qualified and would be exciting candidates, I just think, because of the state of the franchise, they're going to go with someone like that, with a Dorsey or a Pioli. But yeah, Chris, I mean, you had the same names written down that I did. That, you know, these guys from these successful programs would be really exciting, and looking at player evaluation completely differently from the way we do it now.
Yeah, because Jerry, the proof is in the pudding, right, bud?
Right.
Just look at the drafts. Look at the offensive line. Still, look at the records. You know, right now you still got a quarterback we're not even sure about. Another, you know, don't forget, you know, Dave took him 6th overall.
Yep.
And here we are 3 years in, and we're not even sure about this kid.
And Chris, 5 straight years of first round offensive players. I can't get past that ever.
Yeah.
Ingram, was it Ingram, Barkley, Jones, Thomas, Tony? Holy cow, man. That, like, that, That's five straight years of first rounders. And we're that bad.
And we're that bad. And we're that bad. Okay? That, how the hell does that happen? Well, you know, Ingram didn't turn out. I mean, that's not Dave. That was, you know, that was Ross and, yeah, and Reese. But Ingram didn't really, did never play like a number one pick. Barkley's a running back, and he had a great rookie year. But, you know, the last 3 years, on and off injuries, all that. Okay? Andrew Thomas looks like he's going to be a Daniel Jones is a – he's still a question mark.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas looks like he's going to be a real solid, to Dave's credit.
Yeah.
He's going to be a real solid left tackle. And then who am I missing? And Tony.
Tony.
We don't know if we could get this kid on the field.
Right.
So that's where we're at. And it's not like you're knocking it out of the park with third and fourth round, second round picks. Excuse me. That are building, you know. That hasn't been very successful either. A couple of decent ones. McKinney looks like he's going to be a solid player. Aziz looks like he's going to be a solid player.
But too many misses, dude. Too many misses.
Way too many impact. You know, you just – look, if you have a lot of misses but you draft some impact kids,
yeah,
that's what Pioli did a little bit in Kansas City. A lot of misses, but he drafted a couple of impact and all that. You know, these impact kids, you'll live with it because you've got some foundation you build around, but – you know, not many second contracts, Jerry.
With this organization. No, you just tweeted about someone, I don't know, was it yesterday? Will Hernandez, second rounder. Yeah. Awful year. Not gonna see a second contract. Second round pick.
Yeah. You know, so you look at some of these, it just hasn't worked out. Gettleman obviously didn't do his job, that's why he'll be gone Monday. And we'll see where Mara goes. But Judge is a guy that most likely is gonna stay, and that's, you know, Mara's gonna want him to stay. And I think he's going to lean towards a guy, Jerry, that has no problem bringing Judge in, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it because that's the way Mara wants it. And we'll see what happens. Look, we'll see what happens, you know? We'll see what some of these guys they bring in and they, you know, they don't get the job or they turn down an interview, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's something you got to keep an eye on now coming up in the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
A guy you hear, they want to bring in an interview, and he turns it down.
Yeah.
Now, you look at that and say, well, why did he turn it down? Well, it could be Judge-related, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think Big Blue VCR put it out, this thing on George Young. When he came in, he said, asked Mara, do I got to put a fence around my office? And that was the key for him. So it's just interesting to see, which guys turn it down. Because it's got to be exciting to be able to say you turn this around. I mean, that's got to be enticing. You're the New York football franchise, and you're the person that will be viewed in the long run as turning it around, man. But like you said, the Judge factor may come in, or just the overall dissatisfaction with it's a crap show over there. I want nothing to do with it. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But, dude, great job by you. This was hopefully everybody enjoyed this because I did, sitting here listening to it, to be honest with you.
Listen, Jerry, if Judge is back another year, as we all expect, he's got to make changes.
Yeah, totally.
He's got to make huge changes. And look, Jerry, he could lose his defensive coordinator.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, you know, Patrick Graham, he's probably going to get a couple interviews.
Yeah.
And if he knocks it out of the park somewhere, he might be gone. And, you know, the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
His offensive line coach, this guy, Sale. Well, he can let the door hit him in the ass too, by the way. He's going to be gone, okay? He's got to, you know, Judge has got to take charge, bro. You know, I could say this. Judge, he takes great pride in himself knowing the game, Judge.
Yeah.
He thinks he knows the game in and out, and he does. He knows, you know, he's a very smart, he's a smart guy. Doesn't mean you're going to win on Sundays.
Right.
But he takes great pride in knowing everything, offense, defense, what this guy does, you know. A la Belichick, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, so you got to take charge of your offense, which has been at a high school level for the last 5-6 weeks, and it's been bad for 2 years under your leadership.
Yeah.
It was Garrett last year, Garrett Kitchens this year.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
So what are you doing about it, Joe?
Right. Now, that's it. Yeah.
You're sitting back and just letting Freddie Kitchens game plan? Well, I guess so. If your game plan is to run the ball, and the first play of the game, you go empty.
Unbelievable.
With a quarterback who can't make a quick decision, who can't get the ball out of his hands quick. And what happened? The offensive line blocks down right. There's nobody in the back because you're empty. They send the kid Gibson off the edge. He's unblocked. Fumble. Game over.
Yep.
And how sad is that? Fumble. Next play is a touchdown. Game over.
Game over. Two plays.
So, Joe, you take great pride in telling everybody how you have your hand in every damn aspect of this team. And then you allow that? You allow that? And so, to me, it's like... I'm sorry, Jay. One second. To me, it's like, okay, Freddie, it's Freddie's game plan. And, well, dude, you better take charge because you might escape this year, and I'm sure he is. You're not escaping next year. You get what I'm saying, Jerry?
Yeah.
If you go 6-11 next year, you're not escaping it. You're getting fired, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I think anything less than 7 wins would do him in. Absolutely. I don't want to rehash the Chicago game, but like you said, when he came out in that press conference, he said, oh, yeah, our plan was to run the ball practically the whole game. Oh, so on the first play, you chose shotgun and empty backfield? Sure, Joe. Okay, got it. So, whereas with the GM, I want someone more experienced, Chris. Offensive coordinator, I want a young mind who's innovative, okay? I want an innovative young mind who's not afraid to try stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
I'll go the opposite for OC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Jerry, when a GM gets in here, if Judge stays, we could get into that a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll have a lot to talk about in the offseason as far as coaches. But his offensive staff, dude, I mean, Joe, you better get rid of somebody. I mean, like I said, this buffoon Sale, he's going back to college. He's checked out. He's going back to college.
Yeah.
From what I understand, Freddie knows Kitchens. He knows he ain't coming back. And so he's going to have to make some changes, and he's going to have to be more assertive.
Right.
He's got to be more assertive, Judge. He's got to take control, bro. You know, and Graham has proven he could run a show, you know. Your offensive side of the ball has not proven they can run a show. You're the head coach. This falls on you. Everybody looks at you, bud.
Right.
You brought this guy in. You're the head coach. So that's something, Jerry, that if he survives Judge, we expect it like we talked about. We're going to talk about that. Well, what are you doing now? So this is what I'm saying, Jerry. Like a guy like Pioli comes in here.
Yeah.
And he's going to – look, Joe, yeah, we're going to try to make this work, me and you. We're going to – you know, me and Bill, Parcell, Belichick, you know, we got the whole thing going on. All right, we're going to make this work. Yeah. You're coming back here. You're my guy. I told John, you're my guy. But I tell you what. This is how you're going to have to be. You learned on the Belichick and Saban. Well, start acting like it.
Yeah.
I mean, Saban goes through an offensive coordinator every 3 years, it seems like. Yeah, you know, I know guys move on. They take other jobs. But, you know, but point being, Saban has no problem making changes. None.
Yeah, he adjusts. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So, guess what, Joe? This is what you're going to have to look for. You know, you're going to make big changes on your staff.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to make big changes of what you do as a head coach.
And to your point about Saban, look at all the changes that Belichick has to go through every year. He seems to lose a coach every year, right?
Yeah.
So there it is.
Right. So you're going to have to make big changes, and you're going to have to adjust on what you're doing as a head coach.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do this different
yeah.
if you want to succeed in this league.
Yep.
Okay? Because what you're doing is not working. Yep. You might think it's working, and you might tell people in the building that I know football, and I'm – trust me, I came from this. I know what I'm – it's not working. You're getting blown out every game. Yeah. You ended the season with a disgrace. I don't want to hear about the Mike Glennons and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Your side of the ball. So you got to make these changes. To me, Jerry, Judge is the type of head coach that needs two great coordinators to succeed.
Yeah, okay.
He's not going to be a type of guy that has so-so coaches like a Belichick. I hate to compare because Belichick's Belichick, but that's going to go out there and he's going to do it anyway. I think this guy, Jerry, needs two legit, very good coordinators to succeed in this league. And then Judge could go in there and he could talk about culture and make sure guys are on time and, you know, oversee this, oversee that, whatever it might be.
Have a coach that needs two really good coordinators, and we're going to need a quarterback who's going to need a really good offensive line and receiving weapons.
Just quickly.
Yeah.
As we got time, Jerry?
Yeah, we got we're over an hour, though.
Okay, just quickly.
As much time as you want, but.
And now Judge likes Daniel Jones a lot. So does John Mara. But the new general manager might not like Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Now, nobody like Judge or nobody like John Mara is going to tell a Pioli, and Ed Dodd, whoever the hell gets this job, and say, well, you got to take Daniel. No, trust me, that is not happening.
And it's fair to say he's not getting the extension, Jones, before May. There's not getting that. Okay.
Let's see what the new guy comes in here. Mara's not going to insist on Judge or Jones. He wants Judge back. Okay? He's not going to insist on Daniel. I see a lot of people, oh, he's insisting on Jones. You're never going to get anybody. No, he's not going to insist on Daniel Jones.
Interesting.
He likes Daniel Jones, so does Judge.
Yeah.
New guy comes in here, Jerry. I'm going to say this again.
Mm-hmm.
New guy comes in here. He looks at a kid like Kenny Pickett, who I like, by the way, more and more.
I know.
He looks at a kid like Kenny Pickett.
Slowly falling in love with his arm.
Who knocks it out of the park in all these combines and pro days and falls in love with him. And you got a 5 and an 8. You can't put it past a guy to come and go, well, we need a quarterback here. Yeah. Oh, no, but Daniel's really a nice kid. Yeah, but I don't like him. I didn't like him 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He's not my guy.
Yeah.
I don't look at him and say, yeah, he's my guy. You know what I'm getting at?
Yes, and I have a plan for that, by the way.
So people, you know, so people saying, well, you know, all these experts are saying there's really not a kid that in a 5 and 8 talent. Yeah, but you know what? Nobody really thought Mac Jones was a number 15 overall talent either.
Right.
The point being is that these kids, you know, as this process goes on now in the offseason, pretty soon, as far as combines, senior bowls, and all that crap, you know, they skyrocket or they go down.
Right.
And you don't know what the new GM, what he looks at and says, oh, wait a minute. This guy here, you know, I think he has all the tools, and we have high draft picked here. We might go with a quarterback with one of these kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes. We'll see, Jerry. It's a lot of answers. A lot of questions are going to be answered.
And my plan, I think I said this to you the other day, is if you don't like Daniel Jones, there's a guy in Denver, offensive coordinator, who would love him, I think. I think it's the perfect scenario. You get a second-round pick for Daniel Jones. Boom. There it is. They would gladly do that. So, anyway. I know he's all OC, but that'd be my backup plan if you wanted to go get Pickett. So
yeah, but players tap out of the Sharma.
That's true. They do. They do tap out.
A lot of golf clubs.
Golf clubs everywhere. Dude, great job. You want to do picks real quick?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
No, that's all right. I mean, I'm glad you forgot. I shouldn't even have mentioned it. Chiefs-Broncos, Saturday, 4:30.
Chiefs.
Yeah, me too. Oh, and then this one, Cowboys-Eagles, 8 o'clock, 8:15 on Saturday. Micah Parsons, a lot of Cowboys on COVID list now. Going to go with the Eagles at home. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I'm going to Eagles at home.
The Eagles are playing for nothing, right? So I can see them resting guys because they got to play the following week. Dallas is really maybe for seeding. I don't know, man. I'll go with Dallas.
I'm going to Eagles at home. Bengals-Browns. Bengals.
They're resting Joe Burrow. I'll go with the Browns. I know Mayfield. That's like a who cares. I'll go with the home team. I'll go with the Browns.
I'll go Bengals. Steelers-Ravens.
Ravens.
Ravens. Packers-Lions.
Packers.
Yeah. Colts-Jags.
Colts. They need that game.
Yeah, it's easy. Bears at Vikings.
I'll go with the Vikes.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer's maybe last game. Yeah. Titans at Texans.
Titans, they need that game.
Yeah, there's a chance they're the number one seed in the AFC.
No, they are the number one seed. They just have to win.
Right. That's crazy. It's not. That's insane.
Yeah, they don't have to fall, but they just got to win.
Holy crap. Saints-Falcons.
Saints.
Yeah, I guess. Man, these games. I thought they were supposed to make this more interesting. Seahawks-Cardinals. Yes, Cardinals.
I'll go with Arizona.
Jets-Bills.
Bills.
Yep. Panthers at Bucks.
Bucks.
Bucks. Patriots at Dolphins. Go Pats.
Well, New England clinch. They're really playing for nothing. I'll go with Miami.
Are they all resting guys, these teams? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to, like, you know,
it's so hard to tell, man.
Play.
I'll go Pats. 49ers at Rams.
Rams.
Yeah, me too. And Sunday night, it was a good one. Chargers-Raiders.
Yeah, win and get in.
Yeah, right? That's crazy. Love that. I'm going to go Raiders at home.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been talking about the Chargers going to playoffs this year. I'm going to stick with my Chargers.
Your picks were good, by the way. Your Browns blew it up, but
yeah,
pretty good overall.
Browns blew it up.
And finally, we both feel the same way. Washington at Giants.
Washington.
You think what, 24-3, 24-6?
I mean, Jerry, it's bad enough they can't score, and now Fromm's in there against the Washington team is going to look to win. I mean, the Washington team wants to finish strong under Rivera. I think it's 24-3, Jerry. 20-3. Something like last week, dude, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's even going to be more boring or something, like 13-3. It's going to be just a terrible game for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, they got their guys, Heinicke, McLaurin.
Yeah.
I think Brian. Yeah, I mean, I can see, what'd you say, 17-3? Yeah, I can see that.
Like 13-3 or something. But I can see.
Why not?
Rivera getting them all amped, so whatever.
Yeah, and I'm just going a little bit higher because I figure the offense is going to turn it over about three times in a negative territory, and Washington will be set up. So I'll go like a 20-3.
That's a good point.
Or maybe even 20-0. They might not even score.
Yeah, unreal. That's where we are on offense, guys. Dude, awesome job. Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
All right, then we'll do the recap next week, and then we'll figure it out. We'll probably go weekly after that, right?
Yep.
All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. And for a digital subscription, go to Magster, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, hang in there. One more week to go. It is almost over. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.